Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for continuing to listen and tuning in. And don't think I'm not noticing. I go and I check the downloads, and I check the plays, and there's still so many people that are tuning in and listening every week, and I really appreciate the support, guys. Well, welcome back. I have with me today my buddy Brandon Lozier.
Yes, Lozier.
You like that little
spin
that
I put on it? Some people say Lozier or Lozier.
I always say it Lozier, but I just decided to do it fancy today.
I like it.
So we're gonna have some fun. My normal co-host Kevin is not here today. He's still busy from fucking hangover of Comic-Con, the aftermath of Comic-Con. So we'll go into that in a second. Really quick, guys, I have to tell you this episode is brought to you by BenefitPackages.com. BenefitPackages.com is a health insurance agency. A lot of people that I speak to every single day don't have health insurance, and it's because I talk to a lot of comics. If you're a comic, if you're not a comic, if you're listening and you don't have health insurance, the big thing is that it seems like health insurance is something that's really hard to go get. It seems like a big thing. Like, you're sitting around and you're like, oh, that's another thing I have to do, and it just seems like this big headache, like, you don't want to do it. So that's why you gotta hit up an agency and just to do it for you. It's like having a lawyer for your insurance to tell you how to get it. You might go directly yourself and then end up paying too much. They'll tell you if you qualify for, you know, assistance or qualify for free. They'll get it for you. And you're thinking, well, now I got to pay the agency. But no, it's actually free. Their services are free. So it's benefitpackages.com. And if you think this is a scam, it's not, because they get paid. They get compensated from the insurance companies for signing you up. That's how they get paid. So don't worry about it. You're not going to get charged. So you might, it's free anyway. You might as well get the help. Don't wait another day. I can't tell you how many friends I have that don't have insurance, so they just don't go to the doctor. I used to be one of them. I used to not go to the fucking doctor.
I didn't go for like 30 years.
So. 30 years? Yeah, dude.
Like, yeah, so.
I mean,
I have since, but.
I've had insurance the last year, and before that, I've never had insurance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Like, and you know, because it just seems like a headache. Like, you don't want to go, and you know, you don't. And now, like, even more today, it's more complicated. Like, you have to apply at a certain time, and there's certain reasons that you can or you can't do it, all this stuff, and it's so expensive, and you think, like, oh, I don't have the money for it. But, like, listen, you might qualify for fucking free or discounted. I mean, listen, just hit them up. And the best part is that you're going to talk to a person. So you can either go to benefitpackages.com or you can call 1-800-356-3615, and you're going to talk to a person, not a robot. You're not going to have to press one for English, you're not, or Spanish, whatever you're into. And if you want Spanish, you can ask for somebody. You're not going to have to answer questions before you get to the right place. No, you just pick up a person, pick up the phone, you talk to a person, you tell them, I need health insurance, I heard about you on Parishioners Podcast, and they'll just help you right then and there. So yeah, guys, I mean, I've had insurance now for the last, like, I have a, like, year, have good insurance. My back's been all fucked up. My neck's been all, like, kind of fucked up. I don't know if it's from an accident that I had a year ago. My car spun out and shit, and I don't know what happened, but I don't know what it is, bro. I can't lift anything without, like, being in pain, like, the whole day. I have no idea what it is.
Getting old, too.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. Like, I mean, I popped my knee when I was really, really young. I think we got to talk closer to the mics. Yeah, we sound too far away. So I popped my knee when I was really, really young, like maybe like 11, like it dislocated it. And ever since, I always have pain in my knee, and it travels up to my lower back, kind of like a sciatic nerve a little bit. But now it's like, I think it's unrelated, but my neck is too, and I don't know. I don't even know what to do anymore. But I've been going to a chiropractor, and my copay, because of my insurance, is only $30.
That's awesome.
I pay $30 and I get a half hour massage included with that, and then I get the doctor fucking looks at me and he adjusts my spine and my spine and shit, and then I can go walk around that day and not feel pain. But but anyway, yeah, so guys, go to benefitpackages.com. It's free. What are you waiting for? Call 1-800-356-3615. And also, if you tell me that you came from Parishioners Podcast, they're going to give you a free gift. You can choose between movie tickets or a Starbucks gift card, things like that. So it just keeps giving. You're helping yourself out, and you're helping out my podcast. So, and I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, you have to be in the California state. They only work with people in California. But yeah, give them a call. Ready to start this podcast, Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have some fun, buddy.
All right.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. I feel like this is a great song for your episode, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, Indiana Jones. It's so funny. Before the podcast, we were talking. I was literally thinking, like, what song should I open up with? And I was like, you know what? Brandon's a stuntman. And I started thinking of, like, stuntman stuff, like, for movies. I don't know why Indiana Jones has popped in my head, because he does a lot of stunts in the movie and, I don't know, just hanging from ropes and whips and shit. And then right when I came out, you're like, hey, so I'm going to...
Yeah, we're going to the Hollywood Bowl to see Raiders of the Lost Ark with... they'll play the movie, and then I guess they do a live Philharmonic orchestra.
Yeah.
Plays all the music. I've never seen anything like that.
That's so cool.
And I just said, hey, we're going to do that. And you're like, oh, I was just thinking of it. So
cool. I guess it was meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that they do... I have heard that they do that, but I've heard that they did it with Back to the Future.
I think
like the original
have.
Score,
and
this
I think,
whole big orchestra.
I think we missed that. That's one of my
let's bring our mics closer.
Fiance's favorite movie. She liked Back to the Future too. What was that?
Oh, I think Jen's probably trying to come through the door. It's fine.
So to see this is her other favorite movie. She loves Harrison Ford. If it wasn't me, it'd be Harrison Ford. So.
Really?
Yeah, she loves him.
Even though he's 71.
Yep, it doesn't matter.
Is he 71? I think he's like 71 or 72 or something.
He's up there.
So, because I remember I was just looking into this, because you know how they announced that they're doing another Indiana Jones?
Mm-hmm.
And they put a hold on
it? Oh, wait, I didn't know that.
You didn't know they put a stop on it? Okay, here's where they put a stop on it. They put a stop on it because Disney is currently working on Frozen Part 2 and the live-action Lion King movie.
Oh, okay.
Directed by Jon Favreau because The Jungle Book did so well.
Mm-hmm.
So Jon Favreau is going to do the Lion King movie. It's live action, but it's still, I mean, obviously the lions and shit are going to be fake, just like the bear was in Jungle Book.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, so we're going to put Indiana Jones on hold so we can do those two movies. Listen, I get
can.
It.
I mean, he's getting up there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, listen, I know a lot of people like Frozen. You know, I'm looking forward to the new Lion King movie. I love Lion King.
Yeah.
I loved The Jungle Book. I think Jon Favreau is one of the greatest directors.
But I do. I like his stuff, too.
I'm really liking his stuff lately, and he's a great comedic actor as well. I think that's all great. But
I saw Lion King at the
Pantages. I never even got a chance to see that.
Where I sat was like fourth row from the front, you know, and had no idea that animals were coming from the audience, because that's what they – the opening scene, you know, they're calling back and forth. All the animals walk in from the audience, and there's this huge elephant that comes standing. I'm like, oh shit!
Are they really animals?
No, they're
people that are inside. I'm sorry, I know that was probably a stupid question.
They have a life-size elephant. No, and they come in. So I think sitting further back would have been better, because then you see everything. But by the time they got there, it was
they're already there,
getting up on stage. But
that's cool.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
There's some plays where sitting back is better, and there's some plays where sitting close is better. Like, I went and saw Green Day, American Idiot, the musical.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I never saw it.
I saw it recently here, but by now it was like different cast, low budget, really tiny theaters are doing it. But when I first saw it, it was like the original cast.
Oh, okay.
I think the guy won like a Tony or something for Best Musical. And it was fucking great. I was front row. You don't want anything else. But then, you know what was perfect that I saw further away? War Horse.
Oh, okay.
I saw the play War Horse. It was a freaking great play. And, I mean, obviously the movie was
here?
Good. They did it at the Amundsen.
Okay, yeah.
They were
doing
it at the Amundsen.
That's right.
This is a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just better to sit a little further back because the horses look so fake.
Okay.
Now, if you're sitting back, not all the way in the back, but like kind of a little further back middle.
Or if you bad eyesight, then it works.
Yeah.
They look so real.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. If you have bad eyesight, sit in the front.
I never saw it. Obviously, it was either people in costume or was it props that...
It's people in costume, partially, but then like the main horse scenes was this wooden horses, and people would walk with it to make it move.
Yeah, that's... kind of how Lion King.
But if you're a little further back, the lighting was so perfect. And it's really have you seen the movie?
No.
It's a great movie, and it's a good book, but the play was really beautiful, and I actually like the play better than the movie, believe it or not. And the lighting was just like so perfect to where it just looked like
really
these
real
horses moving with like a little bit of a silhouette behind them. It was pretty cool. But anyway, I don't know how the fuck we got on this. But yeah, I've always wanted to see the Back to the Future Orchestra. I mean,
I know they've been doing them for a long time, and this would be the first time that we get to do it, so it's going to be cool.
You'll have to let me know how it is.
I will.
But yeah, I got so mad. I'm like, listen, I want to see The Lion King too, but fucking push up Indiana Jones. He's 72.
He's getting up there. He can't fly planes anymore.
Yeah,
crashing them.
It's almost like they took like an insurance policy out. They must have taken an insurance policy out.
Yeah,
I know it's morbid to talk about, but like, come on, it would be stupid not to take an insurance policy out when you're pushing his movie back that much, and he's 72.
Yeah,
what is he gonna do at 72? Is he still gonna swing from ropes and shit?
He's got stunt doubles. He can do well. They made Shia all CGI. I don't even want to talk about that fourth one. That wasn't.
Yeah. A lot of people people just don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I had a lot of friends work on that.
I'm probably one of the only people that actually liked it.
Yeah?
I like it a lot.
I'd have to watch it again to... I think I walked into it going, eh. Mm-hmm. Just didn't have that same as the first few movies.
When I saw it, I was a big Shia LaBeouf fan. I mean, I saw every movie he was in. I don't know why. I fucking loved him as an actor. Yeah. Since I was a teenager and I watched him on the Disney Channel, he always made me laugh. So then when he started doing serious movies, I really got into it. So I went into it actually very excited to see it. And I really liked it. And I know what people are saying. It is a little bit ridiculous with, like, the crystal skull and, like, the magical ghost shit at the end.
Well, I mean, that didn't bother me. All the CG stuff. I mean, the fact that you can do so much with practical effects and, you know, people actually doing it, you don't need to, you know, and he's swinging through the vines like a monkey. He's never done that before, but yet he can do it.
Right. You know, it was Indiana Jones, but maybe like 2.0, like to the extreme.
Yeah.
too much. I see. Like I like the Cruise action, movie. Though. I like the scenes a lot. And, speaking of Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible. So you know that, what's his name? Henry Cavill's in the new Mission Impossible. Have you read about this?
About
his mustache.
His mustache. I just saw, because I saw, you know, but I didn't click on it. I just clicked on it today because they're shooting both movies at the same time.
Yeah.
That the contract that he's under, he can't shave his mustache.
Well, they're already done with Justice League, but now because Zack Snyder pulled out, they want to reshoot shit.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're doing like $20 million worth of reshoots. Zack Snyder pulled out. If I'm not mistaken, I know his daughter killed herself recently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then like afterward, he kind of said, "I don't want to do movies associated with violence anymore."
Mm.
So I think that he just pulled out of the Justice League. But so now they're doing reshoots. It's fucking crazy, man.
That's horrible. Way to bring it down.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
That's why I don't grow a mustache. I'm actually growing this because I don't know what I'm working on Westworld tomorrow, doing stunts on it.
That's an HBO show.
It's an HBO show. I don't know. It's from what I gather, it's a lot like The Matrix where you can go to this world that this guy has made. I could be completely wrong and people are going to get mad. Mm. But you go to this world and that this guy has created, like in the Old West. So people from the future can go to the Old West and do whatever they want. So I'm an Old West person. I don't know. So I was like, do I have to shave? I don't know. So sometimes we don't know until we get there. And then they yell at us, why aren't you clean shaven?
Oh, really?
Well, not yell at us, but you know, I'm like, how fast? I mean,
so you think that might happen tomorrow?
That's tomorrow night, so I might get there, and then we're like, oh, can you shave? But some places are...
Are you a stunt double for someone?
Not this go-round. It's just, they call it ND stunts, which is nondescript stunts. So it's anybody can do it. So
is typical protocol for you to always be clean shaven when you show up on set? For actors or stuntmen or anything?
I don't know. I usually don't, just because I don't know if I'm going to double somebody. I don't know what he looks like. So I don't want to come clean shaven and then I get there and then they got to put something on me.
So it's always better to go with hair because then they can always shave it right there.
Yeah,
they
can always cut it. Or I shave it.
Yeah, if you shaved it though and then you show up and they go like, who told you to shave? That's a problem.
Sometimes. I mean, it depends on the picture that they look at, because usually it's, hey, can you send a picture of what you look like right now?
So what happens when you go to? I'm sorry. We need you to talk closer to the mic. Do you want a couple books to get a little higher?
I'll grab it.
Actually, in that middle shelf down there, there's a Bible, which should be pretty thick. Yeah. Actually, and bring me the one that's on top of it too. Yeah, that one with Harrison Ford on the cover. Ironically, he pops up everywhere. Dude, if he like dies after this podcast, we're gonna be like, holy shit, bro!
Fucking knew it.
Yeah, I got this book that I keep in my house. It's called 1,000 Movies to Watch Before You Die, and Harrison Ford's on the cover of it.
And
there we go.
This is better.
That's good. Okay.
What were you saying? Sorry.
What the fuck was I talking about?
My train of thought.
Okay, so if you're going to go to an audition as an actor, what do you... Like, so depending on the character, you're going to be like, okay, I should shave for this? Like, what would be
a
character
where you would shave? Well, I guess it depends on the headshot they have. So if they have one, I don't think I have any of me, like, with facial hair.
Oh.
So, I mean...
What if it's kind of like a...
Well, I worked on Grimm a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And that guy was, like, some homeless guy. So I
was going to say, what if it was, like, for, like, a homeless guy audition? You'd be like, yeah, I'm going to keep my scruff.
I had a little bit of scruff. Like, not a lot. I mean, it takes me like a week and a half to even get this. So it's so thin, it's just, I can't grow a beard. So it takes me a really long time. But with that, I think I shaved, like, I worked another show, so I had to shave, like, right mm-hmm. after. And then they called me and said, oh, you booked it. Don't shave. I'm like, ha, 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 okay. And then, like, a week and a half later, I went up there, so I had this, and that mm-hmm. was fine. You know, and they just darkened it up a little bit, because... wanted me look scruffy. My character's name was Scruffy Guy. So I guess in those cases, it's like if you look at it and say homeless, like, okay. Sometimes you go in, if you're like this, they go, are you willing to shave? Yeah, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Hell yeah. I'll book this. Hell yeah, I'll shave.
Yeah, hell yeah. I've had to cut my hair into a mohawk before, so.
Really?
Yeah. But it was more like a pompadour.
See, Jen won't let me shave. I always have my face. Probably not my head either, but she won't let me shave my face. Like, sometimes I want to go clean and just kind of do it over again, and she's like, no, she won't fucking let me.
Yeah.
She says, I look way too young. And she's like, I've seen it before when we first started dating. I don't fucking like it.
She doesn't talk like that.
but she won't let me. So I'm just like, what if I go to an audition or something like that? She's like, well, I'm going to stay somewhere else for a couple of weeks. So walk me through... what it's like as a stuntman going for auditions. Would you go through... Do you go to auditions?
Yeah.
Just like an actor would?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends on what you're doing. Like, I've done a lot of Honda commercial. I haven't done the commercials, but I've done a lot of auditions. Gotten on Avail and whatever. But that... the agency that I'm with, they deal with stunt people
mm-hmm.
as well as actors, so stunt actors. And... So I'll get a call.
That was not a sound effect, by the way. That was a real car outside. Yeah.
I was like,
so stuntman.
I was waiting for the smash. If it has something to do with stunts, like usually the Honda commercials they get called out for, it's like somebody closes the guy's shirt in the car door, and then we have to run along the car while we're talking to them. So it's anything that.
So how would you audition for that? Are you in an audition room, just like a normal acting room? Yeah. Obviously, there's no car.
No.
So you're just kind of pretending that you're attached to a car.
Sometimes it's faking it. Sometimes sometimes it's really stupid.
What about those big stunts? Like, how do you audition for that? Like,
a lot of it is it's who you know. The director already, or the coordinator already knows people.
But what does the room look like? Like,
sometimes you don't even go in. You'll get a call and say, "Hey, can you work tomorrow?"
Yeah.
Like until today, I really didn't know what I was doing on Westworld tomorrow. I still don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of how it is. They know you, they know your ability.
Yeah.
So they know if they call you in, you'll be able to do it. But I've gotten called to, what's your boxing ability? Zero. So, all right, well, send me pictures. And then I wound up getting it. I met with somebody who taught me basics in boxing. And then met with another guy who was a fight choreographer, and then we fought for like a few hours one day, and we trained for a little bit, and then when we shot, it was more to see if I was an idiot or not, if I could actually do it. So I was trainable.
And that was enough, just a one day.
Yeah, with the because choreographer. The way they're shooting it, it's not. I mean, if you're able to pull it off.
Like,
if you're on a film, like a friend of mine worked on 300, the new one, and they were in Bulgaria for months, like 6 months, just training.
A stunt man.
A stunt man. and a bunch of guys, and they were on a workout routine. They did sword fighting every day. The way they ate, you know, it's like that's different, you know, than these one day. That was a whole film. I haven't been lucky enough to work on a full film, to double somebody for a full film. It's just like,
you've never doubled somebody?
I have, but not on like a full feature.
Okay. Not so, big, huge, famous people?
Yeah.
You never doubled as? You don't look like anybody famous.
Nope. I've actually gotten Brian Regan before.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that.
And he was...
not that he would be doing any action scenes in a movie. No, but
he did. He was... I think he was trying to throw a... not a sitcom thing together, but something like that. And there were stunts involved. And I tried to get on that, but not as his double. He wasn't doing any action stuff, but...
Like, do you ever lie?
No.
You don't go, yeah, I box.
No, because it's going to get back to you.
Yeah.
It will. It'll
Well, they'll just have somebody there anyway.
Yeah, but then you'll never work for that guy again.
Right.
It's,
well, speaking of Shia LaBeouf, I heard that he used to do that all the time when he was starting out.
Oh, maybe.
When he was doing those teen movies and shit, and in early 20s movies, he would say, like, I would never, ever, ever say I didn't do something. They'd be like, can you rap? Can you DJ? You know what I mean? Shit like that. Can you dance? Like, can you hip-hop dance? He'd be like, yeah. And he'd show up on set after they cast him and everything, and he didn't know what the fuck. Maybe because he was a child actor already, yeah. And, like, he already kind of had a name. And
I mean, there are people that do that. I think the stunt community is so small, but it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But within three people, you can find out somebody's ability. So if you lie about something, manic, it gets around real fast.
Wow.
It's like... The girl that sleeps with somebody in high school.
Yeah.
It's like everybody knows the
next
day.
Well, he is nuts.
Shia.
Yeah.
And
I also heard that I heard from somebody else that worked with him on a TV show, several episodes, and said that he does not read his scripts. Doesn't even pick them up. Like, doesn't read the script. Because, like, on a series, he was just there every day.
Right.
And he would not ever memorize the lines.
Awesome. He's a professional. Well, that's why. Did he quit? What's his latest thing?
Well, he said that he quit, but a movie came out, like a war movie. I forget the name. It was like a straight to DVD type of thing, or like one of those Amazon Presents.
It could have been an old movie that they just.
He's filming something right now.
Oh, okay.
Because he just got arrested. Did you see that on TMZ? He was, like, outside his movie set and then asking people for cigarettes and shit, and they wouldn't want to give it to him, so he went off of people. And then, like, after he was released from jail, the next day he was back on set, and I saw that somebody else had a cigarette, and he just went right up to him and said, I find him fascinating because he's a fucking weirdo. Yeah. He went right up to them, and he said, like, if you give me a cigarette, I'll take a picture with you.
Awesome. That's addiction.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I don't lie. I had friends that say, oh, just say you did a couple commercials. I'm like, no, it's going to get back.
Yeah.
And it's just something. I'll lie about my weight, but
my
age, but.
Yeah, you could pull that shit off.
Yeah, it's like, because if you show, I've had friends that call me and say, hey, can you, it's this motorcycle bit. It's super easy. You just got to drive through. It's a Harley. And I'm like, dude, I've never been on a Harley before.
Yeah, I'm not a rider.
He's like,
yeah.
But we rode motorcycles in a Batman show. I'm like, yeah, it was a little bitty bike, and that was like 10 years ago. I don't want to.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it'll be fine. I'm like, dude, if I dump a $60,000
motorcycle. It's going to be on you, man.
Yeah, I'm going to look like an ass, and then so are you because
you
referred me. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about that. But it's... He was saying, oh, it's going to be super slow. It's, you know, nothing to worry about. I'm like, no, I'm not. Pick somebody else. It was like, I appreciate the phone call, but I'd hate to screw that up.
When does a stuntman ever think I could get hurt? No, he's thinking about his career. I heard this crazy fucking story once, man. I almost don't even want to tell it but I'm going to tell it because it's great. But okay. I almost don't even want to tell it because I don't have all the facts down. But... there was a stuntman, very famous one apparently. Maybe you know this story. I think it was on the original Mad Max that this happened. So there's a stuntman that was like diagnosed with something like he was gonna die. At the time, he wasn't famous. He was just like a working Joe, you know. and he knew he was going to die. And so there was this crazy stunt that nobody wanted to do because they couldn't get this shot. There was no CGI or some shit where they had to take this truck and just take it off this ramp and fucking flip it. And he said that he was going to, he'll do it. He said, I'll do it. I'm going to fucking die anyway. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but you got to give my family X amount of money. And I want to say, like, they finally settled on, like, $75,000.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't heard that story.
And then he did the flip and lived.
So, wait. Was the stipulation that if he died, they get money?
I don't know. Oh. I think so.
I would hope he didn't get more than that.
Well, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he was just like a stuntman that just did, you know, background work when he could. But he was like diagnosed with something. He had like 2 weeks to live.
Our buddy Rich Warren, he's a huge Mad Max fan.
So oh, really?
He'd be one
the
of
the original?
All of them. He said he went to a Q&A with, what's his name? God damn it. The Mad Max. What's
the main dude from the new one?
No, the old one.
From the old one? I don't fucking know. You're asking the wrong guy.
I know his name. I can look it up real quick. Killing me. But he went to a Q&A, are you looking it up?
Yeah.
Because it's killing me.
So not Fury Road from 2015. No, 1979
is what we want. Braveheart.
Oh, Mel Gibson?
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's in the original Mad Max?
Isn't he?
I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it is him.
So, in that movie,
I've never seen the original.
So I guess in the movie, because he always pranks people, you know, and so he tells everybody.
So Mel Gibson always pranks people.
Yeah, he always pranks people. So Mel says that during the movie, you'll notice there's the truck driver's door gets ripped off. He goes, and if you look, there's a crew guy sitting on the floor of the, and he looks at, right at camera, like he's in the truck with
a crew guy.
Yeah, and my buddy Rich is like, he's full of shit. He's like, he's just because he likes to prank, you know.
Yeah,
and he goes, I've seen that movie like 60 times. There's no way
that you missed a fucking crew guy.
Yeah,
sitting
there's
in
no
the
way.
Car.
He's like, there's no way I didn't see that before. He goes, sure enough, that screening. Because we watch it, door gets ripped off. He's sitting right there, looks right at camera. He's like, God damn it, I don't know how I never saw that before.
So what was the prank?
It wasn't a prank. It was
an accident.
It was an accident.
And they just kept it in.
He just thought Mel was screwing with everybody in the audience, like, oh, you know.
Do you think that many people don't catch that? Or they caught it and they're just like, sorry, that's the best scene, let's keep it.
Yeah, exactly. I think now, in this day and age, they can just CG the guy out of it.
Yeah, well, that's what they're going to do to fucking Henry Cavill. What's his name? Seville? Henry Cavill?
Superman.
Yes, the guy who fucking plays Superman.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do. They're going to CGI his mustache out. And fucking Superman. The guy from Uncle. That spy movie Uncle. The man from Uncle? Yeah. The guy who plays Superman's in that.
Oh.
He's the guy from that. He's a great actor, but I mean, when you look at him, you go, that's Superman.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was born to be Superman.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I never saw Batman versus Superman.
You know, it gets a lot of bad rep, and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. But here's the thing. I'm a big DC person. When I say I'm a big DC person, I don't mean like I'm a fanboy. You know what I mean? I don't have like 90,000 comic books under my bed or anything like that. But I prefer DC to Marvel.
Yeah.
I really like action movies. I've been watching, you know, all the movies and the cartoons. Mm-hmm. It's about as much as a fanboy I am. But I today's Marvel, I can't do it, man.
I like it. I think, I grew up DC too. I mean, I started doing stunt shows. Mm-hmm. My first one was a Batman show. My brother did the show, and he got to drive the Batmobile.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the first show that I got to see, it was like, oh, shit, that's what I want to do. And then the following year, that's when I started doing it. So Batman's been a huge part of my life.
I just think they're better movies up until today. Like, Marvel used to make some good shit before there were Marvel Studios. Like, when they were incorporated with, the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire was Sony.
Yeah.
Had the fucking upper hand on that.
Yep.
And I actually like those better. And people hate the third one, but I still like the third one most of today's. And the new one that just came out, The Homecoming, it's good. It's got great action. The kid is a really good actor.
I liked it, but my problem was that I haven't seen every Marvel movie, so I went and saw it, and they just cut right into him being Spider-Man, which is fine. Yes. Everybody knows the story of it, and then I'm like,
he made his first appearance in Avengers.
Was it Civil War? The last of
Civil War.
So then I went back and I watched that. They still don't say how it all happened. Which is right. Fine.
It's a very different part of the story. He's already Spider-Man. Some people like that they cut out his origin because we've seen it 1,000 times.
Exactly.
But I like origin. DC doesn't cut out origin. Yeah. No matter how many fucking times we've seen it, they keep it in. I like it because I like more of the serious story rather than the silly fake shit.
Yeah.
Like, I like more story. Like, how many times have we seen Bruce Wayne's parents die?
Right.
You know what I mean? And in every movie, it's a different villain.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it really wasn't the Joker. Wait.
Like, I don't care. I want to see it. And in Batman versus Superman, they do it again. And the movie opens up with that. Awesome. But they don't really have any dialogue. You just see it happening and you already know the story.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. Like, to me, Marvel nowadays is a very juvenile, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And even the rated R ones are juvenile. Like,
I like Deadpool.
You like Deadpool? Yeah. I hated Deadpool. Oh, really? I'm the only person on the planet that fucking can't stand Deadpool.
Do you not like Ryan Stiles? Or Ryan
Reynolds? Like him a lot. Like him a lot. He's awesome. I know. Granted, the character, he nails it.
Yeah.
You can't pick on it. Like, I mean, he was perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't like the movie. It's too juvenile for me. And I just don't like the fact, like, I had the same problem with Logan. Everybody said that Logan was the best fucking. It was said that by critics that it was the best superhero yet. The best superhero movie yet. I thought Logan was a steaming pile of shit. Like I'm annoyed with like how it's like a new trend and Deadpool started it to make superhero movies rated R.
Sure.
And when you go, it's just a trend. And when you go watch them, it's just rated R that's for like teenagers. It's just like, oh my god, that movie is awesome. Why? Because Wolverine said the word fuck.
Right. Yeah. It's really easy.
The dialogue wasn't great, and it was so awesome. We saw boobs. Oh my god, like, what are you, 13? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I like, and then when DC did it, they released Batman vs. Superman after theaters as a rated R extended version, and it was like more violence and more story, which I liked. I don't know. If you look at like Marvel and compare it to DC, and here's always my argument, and again, nothing against anybody that likes either or, it's just my preference. If I say juvenile, I don't mean to offend anybody. You know what I mean?
No, I mean it's that
sometimes you
want
to feel like a little
humor,
kid when you go to a
high
movie.
School humor.
Yeah,
you know it's
I mean, he's in high school, so of course it's gonna feel juvenile.
But I mean, there's a difference between shit jokes or you know farting, you know.
It's just too, like, oh my god, selfie. Like, I don't want to go see Spider-Man movie and fucking deal with this shit. Right. You know what I mean? I already got to deal with fucking kids doing that in real life and then with their little fidget spinners.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean? And now I got to go watch it in a Spider-Man movie. And, you know what I mean? And Robert Downey Jr. was in it too much. He should have been in it for, like, one scene.
Yeah.
And then one or two scenes. And then I hated that he spoke to his suit. I hated that his suit was a woman's voice.
Oh.
Like, I made this reference. Yeah. I made the reference, like, what is this, fucking Her with Joaquin Phoenix?
No, that was a good movie. I really liked it.
I like that movie, but that's a nominated movie. This is not Spider-Man where he says, do you think that she likes me? I don't know why she wouldn't like you. You're a very attractive boy. Like, right there, I was out. I was done.
Yeah.
And
it's Iron Man.
But I like DC.
Like, he shouldn't talk to a seat.
Because you look at all the DC movies, everyone, the cast, has been nominated or won an Oscar or a Golden Globe. I mean, Christopher Nolan's one of the best directors of our time.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger won an Oscar for that, actually. I don't think anyone else has ever won for a superhero movie before. Christian Bale's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is an Academy Award winner. I mean, think of every...
Michael Caine?
Every DC actor from a DC movie. Mm. They've all either won or have been nominated.
I didn't like Suicide Squad, though.
You didn't?
No, the problem is...
I'm 50-50
on it. And I think they did this because, you know, I liked the original Batman movies with Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Joel Schumacher took over, put nipples on a bat suit. I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
Who cares? But I feel when they add too many characters, then you're, as an audience, you're not invested. Mm-hmm. Because the movie, it can't be that long. Because people have to pee.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't get invested. So, like Batman and Robin, that was a horrible.
That was a horrible movie.
And I love Jim Carrey too, and but Batman Forever. That I loved was it too. Way too many characters, I thought.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I know, but I think he could have held the movie on his own, or the Riddler could have held his movie. You know, it's like you didn't need all these villains like the Bat, the Cat, and the Penguin.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like you have so many characters. Yeah. You could have it's like a James Bond of action of DC movies. It's like you don't need 80 villains in one movie. But that's what I felt like Suicide Squad was. It was like too many people. You weren't invested in their stories.
There were some that we didn't give a shit about.
Yeah, and
I didn't like Jared Leto.
No, either did I.
I mean, the Rockstar Joker was cool, but Jared Leto, I feel like he played him gay on purpose. Mm. Like he made a point to make him gay. There's some scenes where you would see that he was acting different, and in some scenes he was like just like homosexual. And again, I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong with that, but it and then I even read somewhere that they cut a lot of the Joker scenes out.
That's what I heard too,
because he played him gay.
Oh, I just heard he was bad.
Well, I heard because he was bad. No, I heard that they were arguing with him constantly, like, don't do it like that. But he would and then he has come out since and said a lot of stuff about you never see a leading man actor who is gay because, like, the media pushes them down. Hmm. So I almost kind of think that he was trying to make a point or something. And I mean, I'm pretty sure he's bisexual. I think I read that too. Anyway, but I mean, again, that's your sexual preference. That's fine.
Right.
But okay, I'm gonna go into another rant here.
Okay.
This is actually kind of like something I've been trying to open mics for a little bit, but it's more offensive than funny or a point. But don't take our movies that we grew up on or characters that already exist and change them. Not that I have a problem with any race or sexual preference, but like the Power Rangers movie, the controversy on the Yellow Ranger being a lesbian. And you know what I mean? Okay, so there's that. The new Spider-Man, Mary Jane is Latin, and her name is Michelle. At the end, when they reveal it. You know what I'm saying? And so they changed her name. That bothered me. The Joker wasn't gay. The whole Beauty and the Beast controversy. With the dude that hangs out with the bad guy, which is named I forget his name.
I know.
The short fat dude that hangs out with the buff bad guy, right?
Yeah.
The whole controversy about like him playing gay. And again, I don't have a problem with it. If you want to do a character gay, write a brand new movie and make a character gay, or make a character. And people go, "Oh, you're racist." I have a problem with someone being like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The Joker wasn't gay.
Right.
Like, don't take our shit and change it.
I think he's in the new one.
He's going to be.
He's going to be, and we'll see how.
Yeah.
How, I don't mind him being feminine. I don't care what. I just felt like Jared Leto, like, took it to. I think he had really big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And all the way back from, you know, the early 60s. You know, you look at all those guys, how they did it, and then you get to Heath Ledger. You know, not saying you can't top that, but I think
you can't
tried,
even compare it. I mean, it was like a super different style.
It should
Joker.
Be apples and apples or whatever. Apples and oranges. How's that? Whatever. Cartoon you mean?
Apples and oranges.
Apples, apple versus apples. But he should have done it a different way.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I mean, with what they did, I see it and I go like, okay, I half liked it. I'm still with Suicide Squad, I'm still 50-50.
Yeah.
I've seen it twice, and every time I go like, I can't decide if I really like that movie or if I really hate that movie.
There are definitely parts that I liked.
Yeah.
I thought Will Smith, I like his
Will
character.
Will Smith is great. Will Smith like kind of stole that movie.
Yeah.
And Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Fucking
but I
awesome.
Think those two characters are the standouts in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they invested a little more time in their character, in the writing on it. And I don't know Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of comic books, and I never read comic books growing up. I never, you know. So it might be verbatim on how it goes, but I just felt it was too many characters at once for people to really care about them. They go, so what? I don't care about these guys. So what? They're going to get killed. Who cares?
I heard that, what's his name? Directed Pulp Fiction. Help me out here. Mm. Quentin Tarantino. I heard that he recently reached out to Margot Robbie and asked her to play
he's making the movie about Marilyn Manson's story. Who's the girl that he killed, the famous actress?
Oh, not Marilyn Manson, Charlie Manson.
Charlie Manson. He killed the famous actress. What was her name? I forget.
Yeah. Shannon Tate? No. Sharon Tate.
I have no idea. Yeah, you can look that up. But I heard that, yeah, Quentin Tarantino's making the movie about that.
Huh.
And he reached out to Margot Robbie to play. I think that's a wise choice. I mean, I honestly don't condone making a movie about it because, you know, why fucking make psychotic people feel like, hey, I'm famous?
Right. I mean,
it's just going to provoke more psychotic people. Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
Do you need another beer?
I'm okay.
You're halfway through on that one?
No, this is gone.
You don't want the other one?
Oh, yeah.
I got one more.
Okay.
I think I got one more.
I can
more.
Grab it.
No, I'm going to go grab it. You look that up.
Okay.
you can talk to me while you're in there. It's so everybody can hear you
his,
still.
Not his wife, but...
Yeah, yeah. So talk as I you type so we have some kind of content.
Okay.
Because I got to make myself another...
Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate.
That's going to
be fucking wild, huh?
I don't know what... I got to look... Not that they have to look like the person, but yeah, I could see that.
But the thing is that, like, Quentin Tarantino, he's known for when he does a movie about real life, he's known to not do it accurately. He's known to twist the truth.
Sure. Right? To make it, yeah, to take it and just add a little twist to it or whatever.
Do you remember Inglourious Basterds?
I never saw it. I know. I have it, and I just never seen it.
I have it,
because it came out... As a screener for SAG and I never watched because we got all these damn movies one year and I'm like I never watched
Dude,
it.
Okay, so like Hitler is a character in the movie.
Yeah,
you've heard this whole controversy, right? And like he does a completely different story. Like he kills Hitler off in the way that Hitler didn't really die.
Okay.
Like it's just really not accurate. I'm sorry, bro. I'm getting tequila here.
Oh, it's all good. He's getting tequila. But I'm, you know, I'm excited about the Justice League to see how that works out.
Dude, I think that's going to be sick.
But then again, it's like there's so many characters in that. But I guess it's okay because we know they kind of did what the Avengers have done. They've all had their origins and then they've come together. So yeah. I think that's what I felt like Suicide Squad needed. Thank you. They almost needed their own movie so we get invested and then watch them go kick ass, you know.
Well, I'm super I'm really excited about Justice League because I mean Aquaman, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean I
The Flash
we used, yeah.
Slightly more excited than an Aquaman.
Right.
But the fact that first of all Wonder Woman,
yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Because Gal Gadot is awesome, and have you seen Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was like,
was really
to
cool.
me, I don't know why people said Logan. That's the fucking best superhero movie
I think it was really good, and it was a very strong woman presence. You know, that was a good, strong
But what I love about it, and I think I've said this a bunch of times, so I'm sorry to keep repeating myself to people that listen to the podcast, is that they didn't take the cheap shots. That they could have.
Sure.
They didn't make it a movie about women's rights. They made it a movie about a human being, and she happened to be a woman, and she was still strong as fuck.
Yeah, and she wanted
to
do
what's right. And a woman directed it.
And she wanted to do what's right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't... It could have been a guy in that that character.
It was a love story also.
Yeah.
I thought it was fucking terrific. I mean, Patty Jenkins was the director. And,
yeah, she was awesome.
And I just was sitting there like almost ready to fucking go, oh, come on. I'm about to roll my eyes. When they're in that scene, they're like, that's no man's land, right? And like nobody has ever made it across no man's land. I thought she was going to turn around and go, well, I'm not a man. But they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. I knew. I was like, oh, it's coming.
It's
and they didn't do that.
Well,
like,
it's, like you said, it's a cheap, it's an easy out. Or it's a,
and I'm also excited about Justice League because I fucking love Ben Affleck.
So do I, but I don't know what's going on with him now. I just heard, I just heard, like, yeah, he's not doing it. I'm like, what? Or he's not doing a new
He'll still be Batman.
Yeah.
He's just not writing it. He pulled out as a director.
Oh, okay.
Because he's writing the Batman solo movie, or he was.
He was.
So I don't think
like
that he is anymore.
So.
But then he said he didn't want to direct it either, because he said that he has to focus on the Batman character because it's so loved that he didn't want to be distracted.
Okay.
But listen, bro, you won Oscars directing and acting and shit. I just see that's, and that's DC. They fucking get a guy like Ben Affleck, who has won, I think, one at least, maybe two, for writing and directing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know for sure Argo won, right? I think he won Best Director.
I don't know. But I never saw that either. I have that too. Oh my god,
dude! You gotta put it on the list.
I have it.
You have Argo too?
I gotta put it on the.
You need to watch
DVD Argo. And watch it. That's all you need to do.
Argo, I would say more than Inglourious Basterds.
Oh yeah,
Inglourious Basterds is great, but like it's long.
Sure.
You gotta invest some and it feels long.
Yeah.
You know, but it's good.
I like the way Tarantino writes. I like it. Just back in the day with Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
I think that's my favorite movie that he did.
Reservoir Dogs?
Mm-hmm.
It's just very conversational. People talk over each other. It's not my line, your line.
Yeah.
You know, it's very witty. And
I don't know why we made this podcast about movies, but I mean, I don't know. Like, you're an actor. You fucking know.
Yeah, I started. My brother did Batman shows, and he he did a show in 93 in Chicago. We grew up right outside of Chicago. We worked at Six Flags, Great America, up in Gurnee. And before that, he did plays in high school and college. And I always thought actors were weird. And I would see an interview, and they would say, well, I think the character was thinking this. When I'm like, no, you're the character. You're that guy. You're the guy in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand it. I didn't know how acting worked. And then I saw him do that Batman show, and I was like, oh, shit. That's what I want to do. All I did was skateboard. I grew up skateboarding. I skateboarded. We had a ramp in our backyard. I would get home from school, and I would skate, and then I had turned the lights on. It would, look like Wrigley Field in the backyard. It was all lit up, and I'd skate until, 2 in the morning, you know, until my dad came out and yelled at me. You know, go to bed. And then I go to bed, get up, go to school, and then come home and skateboard.
So that's where the stuntman came from.
I guess.
Were you a stuntman first or acting first? What did you want? What did you officially get into first?
Well, it was kind of both. I mean, the Batman show was an acting part, but we did stunts in it. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing I did. And then I did plays after that. And the community college that we went to, but it was more of it's weird. It's like we did stunts, but it was more of an acting part. So it was we were an audience volunteer, so you had to play it as real as possible. So it wasn't about, you know, it was more about the funny situations we got into.
Wow! So you were the stooge.
Yep, exactly. They call it the shill. Which is French for, I think, foolster or something. But yeah, the stooge in the show. And we get picked out of the audience, and then we get throw a costume on us, and then Vicky Vale kicks our ass, and then at the end of the show, we got to drive the Batmobile. And when the show is over, all the explosions happen, we jump out of the car, and we're like, hey, he's actually a real-life stuntman, you know?
Yeah.
So I started doing that. So it was kind of like I got thrown into it all at the same time.
How old were you and your brother at that time?
I think I was 21 or 22, something like that.
And he's older?
He's a year and a half older.
Okay.
But growing up, I always wanted to do stand-up.
So he was acting that young, though?
He was acting in high school, even before that. But yeah, definitely in high school, I remember going to see shows, and then in college, and...
Did you go to college?
I did junior college. Never finished.
Okay. Did you study anything in particular? Not really.
Interior design and architecture.
Okay.
And then I think I switched and started... I took an acting class that I failed. I failed my first acting class. Because I left early to go do a Batman show.
Oh.
So the semester wasn't over, and the teacher's like, well, you got to take the final, and it's on stuff that we haven't covered yet.
Mm.
So it was like literally going, guessing game.
Oh, okay.
So I failed that. But I've been lucky enough to keep working ever since then. So
okay.
But growing up, I always wanted to do stand up.
Yeah.
And I'd watch VH1 half hour comedy hour and MTV and
when you're not skateboarding.
Yeah. When I wasn't. Yeah. So I was probably 15 or 16 watching stand up, going, "That's what I want to do."
Mm-hmm.
But too nervous to tell my family that's what I wanted to do, because, I mean, I didn't know how to say, "Hey, I want to do comedy," and I was really shy as a kid. Really shy. I didn't like. It wasn't until I started working at a grocery store that I kind of opened up.
Yeah.
And I had to talk to people.
Right.
So that helped me.
Me
judge
too.
People.
Actually, me too. I was super, super shy.
Yeah.
My dad used to joke around and be like, "Oh, that's my son. He's gonna be a public speaker one day."
And you are.
I am.
But that's how my mom too. They're like, "Oh, your son's so funny." And she's like, "Sean?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "No, Brandon." And like, "No, you mean Sean." And I'm like, "No, Brandon."
Brandon, why? Did you see him fall down?
Yeah. Like, what? Like, so, yeah, it was like, it forced me to come out of my shell working at that grocery store. And but I didn't do stand-up until I was 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
But I just didn't. I did improv.
Mm-hmm.
Because
acting will bring you to improv first, I think.
I guess. You know, I read a book, Improv Olympic, IO, mm-hmm. and they're based in Chicago, and read a book about them, and I was like, that's where I want to go, and I want to do that, and I did improv for a few years, and that's taken me out here. So, but it wasn't until my 40s until I did stand-up. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you kind of regret that you waited so long?
Yes and no. I mean,
yeah. Well, you were doing stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, you still have a career. You're still working on stuff.
Yeah, and even stand up, I haven't done it in almost 2 years.
Now. You're always gonna regret.
Oh yeah.
How old you weren't when you started?
Sure.
I know guys that tell me they wish that they started when they were 20, and I started when I was 20, and I wish I started when I was fucking 15.
Right.
You know, I've always been a big fan of stand-up also. I was really, really, really shy. Like you said, I didn't talk to anybody. You're probably right. I never thought about it until you just brought it up. I probably did come out of my shell because I had so many jobs.
Mm-hmm.
In the mall, I worked a lot of retail, and I ended up being really good at sales, so eventually I broke out of my shell. But from a very young age, I loved stand-up. I never wanted to do it. I never dreamed I want to do it until a certain age. I never was like, "Oh, I want to do that one day." I just knew I liked it. I liked listening to it, I just liked watching it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever knew like, "Oh, I could write stuff that's funny." Mm-hmm. I knew, you know, you say stuff that's funny in the moment or whatever, people laugh. I like that feeling of making people laugh, and I think that's where that came from. I'm like, not knowing anything about stand-up, how to write jokes or anything. I just knew that I like to make people laugh. It's a cool feeling.
No one ever told me, like, you should be a comic. I know a lot of comics say, everybody always told me that. No one ever told me that. I was never funny. Like, I was never, I was like, I, like we were too shy. We were too shy for someone to go, like, "You're funny." It wasn't until later they got to know us, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I remember the first comedy show I ever went to, I was 11. And I went with my parents, so that's why I was able to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never guess where it was.
I don't.
The Ha Ha Comedy Club.
No shit.
On Lake Christian.
No way.
Yeah, I was 11 years old. It was the first show I ever went to. It was there still. I think that they were part-time comedy club, part-time, like, I don't know, music or whatever at the time. Slash restaurant, I don't know. But the stage was on the opposite side.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
It's been open that long.
Holy shit. Well, they used to be a Mexican. They were a Mexican restaurant first, same owners. And then somebody went there and wanted to do a comedy night.
Okay.
And it ended up being successful for many years. It was like an urban night.
But it wasn't called Ha Ha's back then, was it?
It opened up as Los Amigos Mexican restaurant. And then later on, it changed to Ha Ha after they turned it into a comedy club. So, yeah, it was an urban night. Somebody's like, "I'm going to do a comedy show here." And it turned out this person knew all the big, like, urban names. So, apparently, Chris Tucker was there every night, and Martin Lawrence, and all those guys were there. Mike Epps started there, and all that type of shit, you know.
And
so
you were 11.
I was 11. I remember that night, and it was Urban Night that I went.
Yeah.
So it must have been like the, and they only did it once a week. I must have gone that day because that's how long ago it was. Within the one night a week they had comedy. So, you know, they went and they're like, oh, that kid can't be here. He's fucking, like, young. And my dad was like, oh, come on, my son loves comedy. Like, I'm his dad. Like, you know, and they're like, all right, you know, the fucking ha. They're like, well, you got 20 bucks? Right. Sure. So, I saw it. And then at that point, I didn't want to be a comic. I just had a great fucking time.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until my dad worked with someone who was a comic as a hobby. And I went to go watch him once at, like, an open mic. And I thought that was so great, too. And then he told me, like, yeah. Like, I'm like, do you guys go up when there's no audience? I remember thinking that. I must have been, like, 12 or 13 at that time. And he goes, yeah, it's called open mic. And he's like, we just go up in front of each other and work on new shit. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I'm like, oh, dude, I don't think I could do that. I'd be too scared to go up in front of no audience. I'd feel awkward. And he's like, nah, it's fine. And then he had like this really cool car, which, like, thinking back, it wasn't even that cool or expensive, but at the time it was
like a Pinto.
No, thinking back, it was old.
Okay.
But to me, at the time, I thought he had a really cool car, and I went like, man, he must make a lot of money doing comedy, right? And
That's what I'm gonna make.
That's the first time it was there.
Yeah.
Maybe a little, but then when it really came back was when Dane Cook came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had been preaching to my friends about stand-up comedy for years. Nobody wanted to fucking listen to me. Until Dane Cook came out, now comedy's fucking cool again.
Right.
Everybody was – I would go to my friend's house. I was like, have you seen this guy? Watching the same old – you know, the clips that he would have with the Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah! Right? Remember that? And everybody was fucking showing me that. And then I started to buy his albums. And I bought – I forget which one it was. Not Harmful, Swallowed. I don't remember. Anyway, one of the Dane Cook albums, the big famous one. And I would listen to it when I was like 17. I go for long walks and I just listen to it. I started to get to the point where at this point I wanted to be a comic. Like, I listened to it so much I wanted to be a comic.
That's cool.
And keep in mind, so many other guys influenced me. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, I used to watch the fucking Bill Cosby himself special every day, mm-hmm. every day, even before I knew I wanted to be a comic.
Yeah.
And then, but the Dane Cook album, I would listen to Chapter One over and over again. I had a CD, and I would just keep skip back to one. And the reason why I listened to one is because I like to hear them go, "Give it up for Dane Cook," and then you would hear the crowd go apeshit, and that's all I like to hear. And I would just pretend that they were saying my name.
That's
and
cool.
I just keep hitting it over and over and over again for hours, bro. And I have this little fantasy in my head that I was going to do it. So then, you know, I would keep going to comedy clubs all the time. Once I became old enough, I would go to the Improv. I was 18. I started going to the Improv. And then go to one Improv. Now you're on a mailing list. Now you get free tickets to go to the Improv every fucking week.
Right.
you know, on weekdays, not special
right,
events.
Right, right, right.
And then I would just see. And then I remember the night I went, like, that's it. I'm starting. I was 20 years old. Okay. And I went and I went to the Improv. And it was when they were working on the movie Funny People.
Okay.
And so they let some of the actors come practice stand-up that night at the Improv. So they had Poppins. So I saw Seth Rogen go on stage with a script and pretend to do stand-up. I saw Jonah Hill go on stage and pretend to do stand-up. They said Adam Sandler was supposed to come, but he didn't show up, which is why I think I went in the first place.
Right.
I heard a rumor he was going to be there, and I went. And then I saw Brandon T. Jackson.
I don't know that.
He used to hang out at the Ha Ha all the time, but
okay. I might,
prior to
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
Black dude that was from
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder,
yeah.
The guy, Booty Juice, guy who plays Al Pacino.
Yeah.
I saw him that night. I saw Greg Wilson that night. You know Greg Wilson, right?
I think so.
Yeah. He always used to hang out at the Ha. He was there, and I saw... You would only know him just from the Ha. I was like,
right.
That's why. And then I saw Ben Morrison was hosting the show, and I just had a... And I was just watching these guys, and they go on stage in front of each other, and then they go and sit in the back of the room, and they're just, like, joking around and stuff, and I'm just like, man, this is like the coolest job ever. I'm like, that's it, I'm doing it. And then I went online that night to the Improv, because that's where I was. So I went on improv.com, right? And I looked at the Hollywood one, and I went to go see, do they got open mics? And it said every Tuesday night they got open mics. So I said, let me pick a date. And I picked February 4th, 2009. And I said, I'm not going back on my word. That's the day I start. And I showed up at that. I didn't know that there was a lottery to do it.
Oh, okay.
I showed up, and I put my name down, and I got picked. It wasn't until the following week when I went back and didn't get picked that I found out that there was a lottery system. Lottery,
gotcha.
So, yeah, I went to the improv, and I did my first 3 minutes, and that's I haven't stopped since. 3 minutes are
that's tough. 3 minutes.
First time.
So fucking tough. I mean, yeah, like, because you don't know how to hold a microphone. You don't know how to breathe. You don't know how to stand. You're like, hey, is this happening? Hey, you know, you're standing next, holding the mic too far. It's like, luckily, the shows that I've been in have either been a host in it for Batman or whatever, that I'm acquainted with a microphone. Just somebody comes up and they're like, hey, if they take too long, like, that counts as your 3 minutes right there. You get two jokes off and you're...
You know it.
So how'd it go, like, that first
3? In my mind, it was amazing. If I go back and I think about, because I can remember some of the jokes that I did in 3 minutes, if I go back and think about the shit that I talked about, I'm like, oh my god, that was fucking awful.
Right.
But I mean, in the moment, I felt like it was great because I got like 2 laughs, and so I just felt great.
It's so hard to get laughs in an open mic.
I mean, now that I think about it, I bombed compared to the other guys that were there, but I was so distracted by how satisfied I felt that I did it, that I was blind to everything else. And then the following time, the very next time I went on stage, I bombed, and I felt it.
Yeah.
I was like, because I guess the first time I was probably like, oh, that was awesome. That wasn't so bad.
Right.
And then the next
like
time
the first time you do karaoke, you're like, oh, man, I'm the shit. I'm going to go sing again. No, please don't.
I ate a horrible fucking dick the second time. And here's the thing. My first set, the jokes that I think about that I did, awful.
Yeah.
Like, I can remember I said, just to tell you one of them. I remember I said that Michael Jackson used to make his kids walk around with the masks so that nobody would recognize them in public. Do you remember he used to do that?
Yeah.
And I said to the audience, I said, like, so if you see little kids with masks, wouldn't you just think those are Michael Jackson's kids? That was like one of the first jokes I did. So stupid. Like, but the second time I went on stage, brilliant. I also remember the bit I did the second time I was on stage, which bombed, the one that bombed. I remember exactly what I did. I did a bit because I was pissed off at my ex-wife at the time, and I did a bit about her, and I thought it was going to be great, and it fucking bombed. Oddly enough, next time I did it, I just tweaked a couple of things, and it was my closer for 5 years.
That's awesome.
You know?
But, yeah, I mean, it takes those things, saying it out loud.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Getting people's reactions to go, oh, there's something there, like, I did with did stand up with my buddy Chris Solomon and Rich Warren, and we would practice at Chris's house because I told him I always wanted to do stand up. Chris did a comedy writing class, a stand up class at the Comedy Store, and then he basically told us what he learned.
Yeah,
and so he's like, "Come over to my house; it'll be
very easy to do
we
that."
Call
actually,
we call it fireside comedy, and we would practice in his place. He got a mic, got an amp.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and we would
so you'd have like little
in his
open mics
room.
In there.
Yeah, in his living room. So it was just us, and we would write stuff, and then just the three of us, and then we would critique each other. So we'd do 5 minutes, and you know, it first started out, just tell us about your day, you know, say anything, and then they'd make notes and say, hey, that was funny. You should write something about that. And
that's great. We have guys like that.
It was very, very informal and a trusting environment.
Yeah.
That it wasn't, you know. So we did that for a few weeks, and then he's like, "Hey, let's go to HaHa. Let's go to open mic." And I'm like, "Ah, man, I've never been more scared because it was people I didn't know. You know, I'm in a new environment." It's like being on stage didn't bother me. It's the material that I'm about to say. It's like, I don't know if it's funny. I don't know if it's funny just because my friends think it's funny. You know, that has a lot to do with it. You know, that's why we invite our friends out to come see us because they think we're funny. And it worked. It was good. You know, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't the best that I've written. But it was cool to almost kind of graduate to that open mic, and then
it's cool to see like your monster come to life a little bit, right?
Yeah,
and that's like one of my favorite parts of doing stand-up is the trial and the error.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love when a bit doesn't work. I love
when
it works.
It does when it, and then when you rehone it,
yeah,
and then it does. I bombed at the Comedy Store, in the belly room. Like I was so
was I did it? I think that was.
I don't know if you. God, I hope I didn't bomb more than once. But
I don't
had,
remember you bombing, but I remember doing a show with you in the belly room.
But I had no, that wasn't that night. It was
okay.
It was a different time. But I had my phone with me as like a crutch. So I already knew what I was going to say, but I used that as a crutch, and man, it just went downhill from there. It was horrible. I was like, okay, all right, let's try this one, and nothing. Okay.
Sometimes crowds will be cool. Sometimes they don't. The phone or notes will make them like,
yeah,
this guy's trying stuff on
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Yeah.
But sometimes the crowds are cool and they go, like, yeah, try stuff on us. Oh, I like that. You know.
Yeah. But this definitely wasn't the crowd.
Sorry, my neck's bothering me. So I mean, sometimes I'll do shows and I'll if I'm really feeling a connection with the audience where I feel like they're cool as hell, and I'll even say like, this is something I'm working on, guys. Do you mind if I try it on you? Like,
yeah.
You know, rare. Sometimes I'll do that. But I just love it. I'm not gonna say I love bombing, but I like when a bit doesn't work.
Sure.
Because
I mean, you learn from it.
I like learning what doesn't work about it.
You're right.
So I know where to fix
and
it.
And I love awkward silences. Love it. Oh man, I love it.
So you're a fucking professional stuntman sitting there about to walk into an open mic and you're scared.
Yeah, it was an open mic with the majority of my friends were in the audience.
That's the scariest thing about it. Well, no, you mean your friends like those guys you wrote with? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, those are fine.
I hate performing people in the audience that I know. I absolutely hate
really?
It.
Really?
I hate it.
I'll never come see you.
No, well, you're a comic.
Yeah, it's...
So I don't care.
I
like when family members or friends of family or...
Well, this is what I don't like people that are the disruptive type. That hammered or, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like,
it's
come
embarrassing.
On, come on. Now, whose people are these? Oh, they're my people. They belong. I'm so sorry.
Well, there's a time when you start out where, you know, you're trying so hard to get people to come out to shows so you can get stage time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm at the point where I'm just like, I got audience members that I don't know on a personal level that I love entertaining.
Yeah.
Don't come to my show. you know, I have... Sometimes, like, my wife's family will be like, oh, you want to come see a show? And of course, you know, I'd say, well, that would be great. And I get them tickets and stuff like that. But that night, bro, I'm shitting a brick.
Oh, really?
I don't like going up in front of family.
Are you afraid that they won't like it, or?
It just makes me nervous, because what if they think I suck? If an audience members think I suck, I bombed. It happens.
Yeah.
I won't see them tomorrow. Next week, I can go fucking rewrite the joke.
Sure.
But family members to come out once every 3 years,
yeah,
and they never saw you before,
yeah.
And you're like, well, he does this for a fucking living, so let me go check this out. And then they go, right. I feel like everybody who knows that you do stand-up and your friends or family-wise always thinks, I bet you he's not doing it. I feel like in the back of everybody's mind, they're all going like, he couldn't possibly be a good comic, because like, how good could he be? He's my friend.
Right.
Why isn't he famous? You know, and then when they
lives
come out
in an apartment,
you really want to prove them wrong,
right?
When they come out, you really want to kill it and be like, "Damn, he's actually fucking good."
And then I guess that changes your material, because now you're worried about.
I change my material all the time if my family's in the audience.
Yeah,
I got bits about a nephew of mine. Sometimes his mom fucking comes, and I don't want to do it. I don't know if she's gonna get upset or not.
Right.
He knows I do bits about him. He doesn't know what it is.
Right.
My nephew, who's 12, he doesn't know what I'm talking about, but he knows I do bits about him. And one time I brought him to a high school charity thing.
Mm-hmm.
We performed at the auditorium, and so there was kids his age there. So you can come. He's never seen before. And I had to not do the bit. You know? And he's like,
right.
You didn't do the bit about me. I wanted to hear what it was. I'm like, bro, you are never going to hear what that was
especially
in your entire
with
life.
The people that you're
yeah.
friends with.
Sometimes
yeah.
when my parents come out, I'll take stuff out about. I mean, I'm not very dirty, but sometimes I'll take stuff out about jerking off or,
sure.
you know, certain things.
Yeah.
But I just don't like it. I want to be a fucking artist on stage. I want to be free. I don't want to feel stifled. You know, I just don't fucking come. When I'm doing this like huge theater, then you guys can come out.
Then I can't physically see you.
Yeah.
And don't sit in the front.
But my family's super cool and supportive. My parents came out recently to a show.
Mm-hmm.
My mom hasn't seen me in like 2 years, and my dad hadn't seen me in like 5 years.
Like physically seeing or
no,
seeing
on
you
stage.
Stand? Oh, okay.
So like my dad saw me last when I was an open micer, bro. So
that's,
I mean, you've seen me more than
that's
that.
Pretty cool. Well, that's cool. I mean, hopefully he thinks well, he's gotten better.
Yeah. No. So my dad was like, my dad couldn't stop talking about it. He was just
awesome.
Like, holy shit. He's like, you might actually fucking be famous one day. He's like, fuck, you actually are fucking good.
That's cool. That's great to hear.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I was going to ask you one more thing. So what's the craziest stunt you've ever fucking done? For a live action or for a movie or a show? I know you work on Conan sometimes and stuff.
Yeah. I was just on Conan down. I didn't make it. The bit got cut. I was on like a Comic-Con thing. But that got cut. Things get cut all the time. Usually with Conan, it's pretty basic.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little soundstage, and you've been on a few times, right? Where you're doing like some kind of act out or something.
Yeah,
something,
honestly,
so.
I've been on it enough where I don't remember how many times I've been on it.
Really?
I've been lucky enough. I
still get nervous?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's more, that doesn't bother me. It's the respect of the writers and Conan and Andy.
I get that.
They're really funny, and they catch the joke so fast. So you don't want to screw it up, because you don't want to make them look bad, or you don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
you don't want to let the writers down. Everything
exactly.
I get it.
So I think that makes me more nervous.
Next time you tape, you gotta give me some tickets when I come see you live.
But sometimes I don't know until, hey, can you work
tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So
I think you just gotta learn what you're doing and when.
Yeah,
sitting.
You know, and most of the time I'm in a stupid costume
and be extremely funny at it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like it's a funny show and it's written funny,
mm-hmm.
so you got to play it serious. So if you try to be funny, then people are gonna not like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gonna go, oh, okay, that's a bit. You know, so
yeah.
and that's what they don't like on the show. It's like, we wrote it to be funny, so you don't have to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, try to play it as serious as possible. That's what'll play.
When did you, how did you learn that? Is it something you picked up on your own, or someone told you that?
From that show, I've learned from that show, but I learned a lot from my brother, because he did acting before me. We do our Santasia show, our Christmas show.
Oh, I love it. I was just
saying
to Jen the other day, I was like, man, I wanted to be Christmas already. I think about that play a couple
but
times
a year.
But
he told me early on, he's like, when you get a note, you know, when a director or somebody says, hey, don't do this, don't argue it, just take it, you know, try to, and he's taught me a lot throughout the years, and just early on when I was starting, like, just pay attention and just be ready and learn a lot from the stunt side too. You know, it's like nobody wants to wait for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if they're ready to go, they're ready to go. They shouldn't have to find you, so you should be there. Like, I've been lucky enough to work on General Hospital and a couple other shows. It's like I like to be there, I like to watch.
Yeah,
you know, like on set, you know, like when the thing that you just shot, it's like I enjoy the process, so it's like I'll sit and watch behind
the monitor.
I do too.
I find it really,
you know,
interesting.
It's super cool.
I do. I've been on a few sets, and I always, even if I'm not a part of it, like I'm just there. I love to watch it. When I worked on Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I would just sit there and just fucking watch them do the scenes, even if I wasn't one of the guys that wrote that.
Yeah. It's such a cool process that, I mean, with Conan,
so
it's
fast.
Like they'll write all the monologue stuff, and then they'll rehearse it, and he just runs through it in the morning. Not runs through it, but, you know, he just says it out loud like any comic, like, is this funny?
Hmm.
But he doesn't do that. They'll say everything, and then they go back, and then they'll rewrite. So it's cool to see in the morning how it changes for the taping. It's like they'll just tweak a little bit to make it work, or they'll cut stuff that didn't work. It's like, You know, it's a really cool process that I just like.
Yeah.
I like, I love whether being shit, on, bro. On the, in the movie or being behind camera. It's like, I enjoy,
I mean,
that
people watch
too.
Documentaries just to get that feeling. And yep. You're fucking right there. Of course you're going to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
So you need to tell me what's the fucking crazy stunt you had to do.
Man, I don't know. Get hit in the head a lot. No, jumped on a moving train.
On or off?
Onto
a moving train.
Yeah.
And it really was moving?
Yeah. And the first time they did it, like, I actually ran too fast. So they had to go, the train had to go faster. They're like, you need to slow down and make it look harder. And so it was dangerous in the fact that a train can crush you. Yeah. But it really wasn't that hard to do.
I mean, what if you miss and you go under the track?
Exactly.
What if you don't hit the opening of the train and you hit, like, the wall? Or was it not that kind of train?
It was. It was a boxcar that I had to run and grab, and then they're, like, and trip a little bit, and then
Holy shit, get in, bro.
And but that was pretty, I mean.
It's like every little kid's fucking dream is,
it's like
is
every,
to be
every
a
movie you see, like, hobo gets on a train, and they're like, hey, we're going across country. And so I got to do that. It was pretty cool.
And a lot of actors, when they go, they can think of actors that inspired them to become an actor. And for you, it was from watching your brother.
Yeah.
You weren't really into acting. Well, yeah. Your brother got you into it.
Yeah, it was that's really awesome. Cool. I mean, yeah, I always thought acting was weird.
You have a cool family, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met your brother several times, and I mean, he's cool. I mean, he does the Santasia Christmas play that you guys do every year here. And it's such a cool thing. You guys took your family tradition, put it on stage.
Yeah.
Christmas and then you
was
took,
a huge what, thing. Our dad, his birthday was Christmas Eve.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, Christmas was huge. But we always separated it because growing up, he always got screwed to get one present.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, this is for your birthday and Christmas. So we always made it like some people open up gifts on Christmas Eve and then, you know, from the family, and then Santa comes on Christmas Day.
Well, when I go watch the Santasia play, man, I'm sitting there in the audience with people that it's not their first time seeing it.
Yeah.
And some of them bring their own fucking little penguin.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you guys haven't seen the Christmas play, you're listening. I mean, you'd have to see it. I mean, if you're in Southern California or New York, and now it's part-time in New York during the holidays.
This will be our third year in New York and our 18th year here.
Jesus Christ. It's a part of people's tradition, Christmas tradition, to go see the play
now. We made a joke one year.
It's a part of mine now. Like, I want to go every year. I've been the last 3 years in a row.
We made a joke. I don't remember what year it was, but it was when Cher did her farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the next year she was doing another tour. Like, it was like, wait a minute. That last year was your... So we named Santasia the farewell tour. And we had so many people pissed at us. They're like, you can't do that. This is our tradition. It's like... it's a joke, man. Relax.
Yeah, you can't stop.
It's a joke. Yeah, so now
you guys can't stop doing it, right?
Yeah.
It's you and your brother, and it's basically, you know, inspired by your pretty much your family and your dad's, like, enthusiasm towards Christmas and decorating,
like,
and,
you know, decorating the house, like the Griswolds.
Yeah, it's great.
Know.
There's several different comedy sketches in there that I love. Like, you dress as a woman in the piano.
I do.
I love that, bro.
I dress like a woman a lot in that show.
I just love, you know, at the beginning.
A lot of, like,
the
kids in
the
hall.
Snowball fight, kid stuff.
Yep. A lot of, like, kids in the hall and Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Or Carol Burnett. I mean.
Look it up, you guys. By the way, while we're on subject, Santasia. I mean, just Google it.
Santasia.com.
I mean, you'll see reviews on it. I mean, it's just fucking.
We always try to parody a movie or a TV show. And, we've done that for years, and then the live show, it incorporates those it's like a multimedia show. It's it's hard to explain because we do musical numbers and we do sketch.
Yeah, it is a little hard to explain, right? Yeah. But I can't explain what it is, but I know I love it. It's fucking Christmas, and I can explain the emotion that I feel. I know I feel like I laugh a lot, and you feel fucking, like, emotional.
Yeah,
you'll cry and you'll laugh.
Yeah, we take you on a roller coaster. We make you cry and laugh.
And that's exactly what a performance should be. It should fucking make you laugh, cry, you know, feel sad even though I know, you know, as a comic, we're like, oh, we want to make people laugh. Bro, I want to make people feel sad, too.
Yeah.
That, to
I
me,
mean,
that's
you
what
want
a comic
people
is,
to,
man.
To feel something. And
if you
and
go home feeling something, you're like, man, that kind of reminded me of, like, my dad or something.
Well,
like that.
Yeah, and that's
even
what
as
I
a comic,
think,
that's what I want.
We trick the audience into thinking that, you know, it's like they go back and go, oh, what's my favorite Christmas memory. What a
yes.
What do I remember?
What would I say
about my childhood growing up? So
I always always think that too. Like, what would I say if I was in that play? What would I say? So I actually did it once.
Oh yeah.
When I did that show for you guys.
Yeah.
You didn't know this. It probably seemed like a bit because I wrote it and made it funny, but I did a fucking Christmas story. Do you remember when I did the? So we were trying to. We did like an event to raise money,
the first show we went to New York for the first time, right? Almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I know that because that's my anniversary. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you more about that.
Right.
But we did like a fundraiser show, and we did stand up, and we did clips from the movies that we've done, and a couple sketch. And musical numbers from the show.
That was great because you did stand up and Rich did stand up and
Chris did too.
And everybody did some stuff and there were some new sketches that we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. I remember I went out and I did some I did some stand up and I actually thought about what I would say because I know you guys do it in the play. Mm-hmm. It would be my favorite Christmas memory. And I thought of this story and I wrote it into a joke.
I don't remember.
And I did it that night.
And maybe I couldn't because I was changing into
a costume.
Yeah,
you were back there kind of changing.
So I might have not heard it. Because it was a free-for-all. Like, we did so many different things that night.
Yeah, and I did this story about, like, it's long. I'm not going to go into it. I did this story about my dad kind of getting mad at me on Christmas. And I got in really big trouble that day. And it was, like, the worst Christmas and like the best Christmas at the same time, and it was like because it ended up like happy and shit like that. I was feeling it.
I remember
it went
that.
It went great. Like I actually could make it a permanent bit.
Yeah,
it went great, and I actually did do it a couple times after that. That was a good bit.
That's cool.
So yeah, you got engaged later that night.
Yeah, well, not that night, but
wasn't it that night?
No. So I met her. I met my fiance.
You met her that
I
night.
I met her that
That's
night.
That's right. I'm sorry. Engaged.
A friend of her.
That's what
I
meant.
A friend of hers brought her to the show, who we knew. She was going to bartend for us, and there's video monitors in the booth, so we have them on stage and we have them out in the lobby. And saw on the monitor some random girl, and it looked like a red dress, but it's pink. I only say that because she corrected me the other day.
Oh.
she's like, I said, yeah, you wore that red dress. She goes, it was pink.
On the monitors, it looked red.
Right, exactly. So I was like, so I look at the monitor, I'm like, oh, who the hell is that? And so they would have to make an excuse to come out to the lobby. I'm like, hey, we got to grab some stuff. Like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, and I meet her friend, just real brief. And then I was like, whoa, how come she's never brought her around, you know, and never seen her before? And then we do the show. And afterwards, she kept, like, eyeballing me, like, hey, when are you going to come talk to me?
Really?
Yeah, and I had no idea because I'm a guy. I'm an idiot. And it wasn't until they were getting ready to leave that she was standing outside the green room, or our dressing room. I said, well, you can come in, because her friend was saying bye. And she's like, well, I don't want to see anybody naked. And I'm like, well, no, we're not naked. We're done.
Yeah. You know?
We're just hanging out back here. So her and I start talking, and it was like, boom. It was like, everyone just knew, like.
Well, you saw her from the monitors and were feeling it, and then she was feeling you, apparently.
So she really liked my stand-up, and the stand-up that I did, I say did because I haven't done it in almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I did stand-up. I try not to swear when I do stand-up. Just, I don't know why. I mean, I swear.
It's just some personal thing.
Yeah, but I swear anyway, like in regular life. But I was like, I want to try to do it without swearing.
Yeah,
and
I can respect that. It's your own little personal.
Yeah, and it worked for me, and I liked it. And so she really liked that, you know, that part of me. So we really hit it off that night, and I hugged her goodbye, and I said, I love you so much. You know, just messing around, but I thought she was really cool. And then some one of my friends was like, you gonna give him your number? And she's like, if he wants it, he'll get it. And like trying to be all cool. She's not that cool. I'm not that cool. But,
yeah,
you know,
she was trying to be that cool that day.
And it worked. And so
how'd you get her number? You hit up
her friend. Yeah, her friend texted me that night. So I texted her that night. I was like, hey, it was nice to meet you. We should hang out. And then it was like 4 days later, we went on our first date. And
what'd you guys do on your date?
We went to the local peasant, which is like a...
It's right here in Sherman Oaks, right?
Yeah. And then we went to... It's a bar that looks like a big whiskey barrel.
Idle Hour.
Went there, and then we saw a play that our buddy Rich was in. And went saw.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that was like our first date, and then after that, sat and talked for like 4 hours. And
you guys are perfect for each other, bro. She's cool as hell. She's a really sweet girl. Awesome. I love her. She's a sweetheart.
And
I'm really happy for you, man.
Thanks, man.
Fucking so wedding's coming up now in November, getting married, bro. September, right?
Yeah, I think it's 42 days.
Jesus, you're counting the days.
How many days until September 8th?
It's 43 days
so, to go.
43 days ago.
We should write a movie right now called 43 Days to Go. It's like the countdown to a wedding.
But it's great. Good, I mean, she's done so much for it and done so much for me. And she's the one that got me to get health insurance because she's like,
it's always a woman,
right? And she's
dude,
like,
if I was a single male, I'm sure I would never ever go to the doctor.
No.
I would just be in pain my whole life.
Like I said, I hadn't gone probably since I was a teenager, you know, and
it's probably even younger,
you know,
for me.
And she's like, and I hate dentists. And now,
now she made me go to the dentist too.
Know, right? Oh, so now I hate dentists. I hate dentists, but the one that I go to is in Thousand Oaks. That's where her family goes, and they're awesome. And I've never been to a dentist where I'm like, holy crap, that was awesome.
Really?
Just the way they shoot the Novocaine. It was like super gentle.
Hurt?
It was like. It felt like I was a kid.
Shit,
like,
I'm gonna have to get the name of your dentist.
Yeah, they were awesome. And then I had to go to a different one to get some tooth removed because cracked my tooth, and they couldn't do that there. And I hated
that's
that
all that
guy.
Happened.
I hated that guy.
You're a fucking stuntman. All that happened is you cracked your tooth. You never had a broken bone?
Not from stunts. I've been bruised pretty bad.
Man,
I'm knock on wood right now.
What did you do on the Waterworld show? So you're a part of the Waterworld show at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
I used to do a different role, but now I do a role that basically the audience warm-up.
The guys that go out there and have fun with the crown, throw water on and stuff. That's awesome. What did you used to do?
We did that too, but the show's changed a little bit. We were the Deacon sidekick.
That's right.
And now they gave us a microphone, so we warm up the crowd, throw buckets of water on them. Even in the winter, people sit there in the winter. It's crazy.
The last time I saw it, some of those guys that do the warm up, they actually have a part in the show too.
Yeah, everybody does.
Everybody does. You run
so,
around or something.
Yeah,
we'll
run backstage and change clothes.
Who gets thrown in that toxic waste dump?
Now we do.
You do it now?
Yeah.
So every night you gotta fall into that fucking thing?
Yeah.
You're hanging upside down?
Yeah, we hang upside down, it's a quick release, and then we do a high fall into an airbag. So it's about 18 feet. Yeah.
You're falling 18 feet down in that thing?
I think so. It's about like that. I haven't measured it, but I think it's...
Have you ever done the guy who gets caught on fire and falls from the top?
I haven't done that. I've only done...
Didn't, Vu?
Yeah.
Doesn't he do
Thomas,
that?
Yeah.
Tom Vu?
He's still there.
He does the fall still?
Yeah, Thomas, yeah.
He's still there?
Yep.
You know what, bro? For my birthday, Jen just got me 2 passes to Universal.
Oh, no way.
That's so awesome. You have to tell me your schedule, and I'd like to go a day that you and Thomas.
Well, I know
are both
I'm definitely
working
next week, but I'll look when he's working too. So
you're gonna be there for a while, like in August and shit.
Probably.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because I gotta. Because she's not gonna get a day off of work until like August something.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to go like mid August. Otherwise, she'll be like a no show, like on her phone and shit.
Yeah, still there. It'll be probably busier during August too. I mean, it's like.
But when school was over,
yeah,
school,
but still, like,
school was back.
It goes August is pretty busy. June, July, and August are pretty busy, and then kids start going back to school. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, come, we'll sit in the soak zone, bro.
Yeah,
come sit in your section.
I'll hammer you. Because not only do we get you guys wet, then the jet skiers come by.
Yeah, the jet skiers come by.
Because that's, you used to see that show, like, when we started going to Ha Ha's, you guys found out that we did Waterworld, and you're like, what?
But I've never seen you in it.
You probably have.
I might have, I just didn't know you then.
It was either me or Sean, because me, Sean, Lon all did the same part.
Right.
And now we used to do the same part.
I used to know that show by heart, but now that you say it changed a little bit, I got to go check it out.
Yeah, enough to where you go, okay. There's a little bit of difference.
That's cool. Man, it's been years since I've been. I want to go see some stuff. I haven't seen the new Harry Potter world.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I give a flying fuck about Harry Potter, but it looks cool.
It's and cool. She likes like, it. I don't know Harry Potter either, but you walk in there and you feel like you're somewhere else.
Yeah. Plus, me and Kevin, the guy who's a co-host of this, me and him are big, you know, movie guys and just like kind of having guy time sometimes hanging out. But like, he's got a year pass to Universal. It's cool. Bro, start fucking going every now and then. It's good times.
Go on the studio tour and you can see my fiance.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She does that too.
She does that, and she does the VIP tour guides. So that's like a special thing with a smaller group, and they walk around.
I think I can get that if I was a gold member, but I'm a silver member.
Oh. They're so expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Theme parks are ridiculous.
They are. They are.
And the parking is horrible too. It's like $25 now to park.
Yeah. Well, it depends what. I think it's cheap. I think it's like 10 or 20 if you go during the week.
Oh, okay.
Because I go to the movies there sometimes, and I'll park in like the Jurassic parking or whatever. They got the movie theater up in City Walk. And,
yeah.
And it's only like $10. And then if you buy a movie ticket, they give you like 7 of it back.
And they just changed that movie theater. Now it's all reclining chairs.
I've been there since. It's nice.
That's how I saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I saw something there recently, too. I forget. Oh, I saw the new Transformers there.
Oh, I haven't seen, like, after the second one, I stopped watching those.
Because they get awful after that. And the newest one is just as bad. All right, bro, we should probably get the fuck out of here.
All right.
Thank you for being on, man.
Of course, man.
I appreciate it. It's good to see you. I don't get to see you that often. I'm glad you were finally available today. You're not fucking falling in some toxic waste dump tonight. Getting hung upside down.
That was yesterday.
That was just yesterday. All right, great. So, guys, check out Brandon Lozier. Are you on Twitter or
Instagram? More Instagram. Brandon Lozier.
Spell it for them.
BrandonLozer.
Brandon Lozier. And I'm going to have it spelled.
Or Santasia.com.
Definitely check that out, you guys.
SIA.com.
Definitely check that out. Yeah. I mean, I highly recommend it. Just not to promote anything. I'm doing? I'm not promoting something here. I'm fucking helping you out as a listener to watch something. If you're in New York or you're...
It's something we're really proud of. And
man. I mean, it's been going 18 years.
Yeah.
I saw it once and I haven't missed one since.
Yeah, it's a great show and we're super proud of it and we just want more people to see it just because it's...
Or just if you're not in New York or Southern California, if I can just...
We might live stream it this year, so...
Really?
Yeah, so more people can see it all.
Be on the lookout and just YouTube a couple scenes and stuff like that. I'm sure you can probably see some stuff, some funny stuff. Cool. It's a good time. So, guys, keep in touch with him. I mean, he's going to be on the HBO show tomorrow. I mean, he's always on Conan. I mean, you know, support him. He's a great human being.
Thanks.
Really nice guy. Congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
And I'm sad that she's working on Saturday.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Just come over. We're having a little barbecue out here. That's it, man. Thank you being on.
Thanks,
man. It's always great to see you. I don't get to see you as much as I like. And you live pretty close
to the studio that we have. Now that you moved here, I moved away.
Yeah. Didn't you used to be over here, too?
Yeah, we were right down on Hazel's.
But you're by my studio now, so I'm going to start texting you and be like, yo, I'm in the neighborhood. You want to come by the studio and fucking see some shit we're editing?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get... thank you guys so much for listening, as always. I got to say... Please, all you guys are still listening, but we need to get some comments and some reviews on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. So if you go on iTunes, rate it. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a little comment. If you're not using an iTunes app or you can't figure out how to leave a rating, just please hit me up on social media and give me comments, feedback. I really appreciate it. Oh, almost forgot. I got to do some shout-outs. Hang on, buddy. Yeah, you guys got to hit me up on Twitter and just, you know, let me know what you like about the podcast, even what you didn't like, maybe privately. And, you know what I mean? I definitely like some feedback, so let me get over here. And shout out Adam Castro on Twitter. Thanks for joining the fucking team here, the family. My girl Cheryl Nixon, as always, being supportive.
Yeah.
Let me see what else I got here. What was this person's name? Squirrely Sunshine at Squirrely Sunshine. Thank you so much for your support and all the love on Twitter. Hold on a second. What else we got? At Mish underscore the dish.
Sweet.
Underscore again. Oh, okay. Shout out to Maximus P. Stevenson. It's a badass name. And a shout out to Sal Paradise. Thank you for supporting and being motivating and continuing to fucking show some love.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody. It's Brandon Lozier. I'm Augustino Zoida. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get the fuck out of here. Just get my song ready. See you next time, guys.
Sometimes I feel my heart will